ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। I'm going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 8, text 7. I think you all know the verse more or less, so you can repeat it after me. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu.
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu.
Ma manusmara yudhyacha. Mayarpitamano buddhir.
Mayarpitamano buddhir.
Mame vaishyasya sanshayaha.
Mame vaishyasya sanshayaha.
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu.
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu.
Mamanusmara yudhyacha.
Mamanusmara yudhyacha.
Mayarpitamano buddhir. Mame vaishyasya sanshayaha.
Mame vaishyasya sanshayaha.
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu.
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu.
Mamanusmara yudhyacha.
Mamanusmara yudhyacha.
Mayarpitamano buddhir.
Mayarpitamano buddhir.
Mame vaishyasya sanshayaha. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt. Tasmad sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmara yudhyacha mayarpitamano buddhir mame vaishyasya sanshayaha. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. This one line in particular was often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, Ma manusmara yudhyacha. Krishna says, think of me and fight. Most important thing is to remember Krishna. But fighting is there also. Of course, for Arjuna, as Srila Prabhupada works into the translation here, Arjuna had to carry out his prescribed duty of fighting. Sometimes people, especially Western critics, they say, oh, this Bhagavad Gita is very bad because Krishna was inciting Arjuna to fight. But in India, no one ever had the misunderstanding that Bhagavad Gita, which is a treatise which wholesale encourages fighting. The point is that Arjuna had the specific duty to do that. It's not that everyone's meant to fight, but everyone is meant to remember Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, this instruction is very important for people engaged in material affairs, which almost everyone in the world is. Not everyone has the luxury, you could say, or the opportunity to be able to full-time engage in the service of Krishna. Those who are engaged full-time in the service of Krishna, they're expected to do lots of bhajan. And actually, Srila Prabhupada gave us this program for devotees living in the temples, that they should rise early in the morning, have Mangalarti, worship Tulasi, chant the holy name in japa, worship the Lord, Shorasha Upacha, the 16 items for worship of the deity, and then have deity greeting with arati and worshipping the Guru, and then Srimad Bhagavatam class, the whole morning program of minimum 4 hours, four and a half hours, an evening program also of chanting and class. Arjuna didn't have any opportunity. Presumably when he got up in the morning, even during the battle, he'd do some puja or something, but no time for elaborate puja. He had to think of Krishna because Krishna was his charioteer. That made it easier. He's been told by Krishna, Mama Nusmara Yudhacha, Yudha, fighting. And Arjuna is a Yodha, a fighter. See, particularly he's a Rathi, or a chariot fighter. So the chariot fighter, he always, apart from being conscious of himself and everyone around him, those who are attacking him, those who are supporting him, he has to be very much conscious of his sarathi, his charioteer, because he has to protect the charioteer also. An easier way than if you have a formidable opponent on opposite you fighting in the chariot, one way to disable him without having to directly engage in him is to kill his charioteer or disable his charioteer. So the chariot fighter has to be very much conscious of his charioteer, has to protect him also. The charioteer may have some foot soldiers around him to help protect the horses. The horses also may be taken out. So he has to be conscious, apart from those he's fighting with, he has to be conscious of all who are around him. Now you all know the story how Arjuna, being the favorite disciple of Drona, how he became the favorite disciple. One reason was because he was very sincere in practice. He would practice at night also. And because he thought, you know that story. He was eating with his meal at night with the lamp burning, and then it blew out, and he went on eating. And then he thought, well, if I can eat while not seeing, I can shoot arrows with not seeing also. So he started to practice at night also. But there's that famous story told that Drona put in the tree a model of a bird. And then he had the different students tell them to take aim, have your arrow, and you have to shoot the bird, shoot the head of the... So one by one he asked the students. And of course in his Gurukul for Kshatriya boys, there were the Pandavas and the Kauravas. They were school, apart from being cousins, they were classmates. So you can imagine how Arjuna, he was unenthusiastic about fighting, because he was fighting not only his cousins, but they're also his schoolmates. Never mind the fact that Duryodhana had tried to kill Bhimasen during the time of during the time of their studentship by poison cake and drowning. So one by one, Drona called the students. I don't remember exactly the order, but one of them was called. The Duryodhana said, "So take aim," and then holding up his bow. "Now, what do you see?" "I see the bird." What else do you see?" "I see the tree and the leaves and the branch." He said, "Okay, don't shoot now. You come." Then he asked another one. He said, "So what do you see?" "I see only the bird." "Do you see the tree and the leaves and the branch?" "No." "Anyway, you go." So one by one he called them. And the penultimate one was Karna. And he said, "I see only the bird." "What exactly?" "I see the head of the bird." So he's getting pretty good. But then Arjuna said, "I see only the eye of the bird." And then Drona said, "Okay, now you release your arrow." So he had to focus exactly on the eye of the bird. So that's the training. If you're going to shoot, you have to be so much focused without thinking of anything else. That's in training, but in real life fighting, there are so many other things to fight, to remember. And Krishna is saying, "Remember me also. Remember me most of all." Now, when Krishna says, "Think of me," he's not saying it just in terms of, "Remember, I'm your charioteer, so remember me also." That's already included in Yudhyacha. The fighting, that's already included. He has to think of his charioteer, his horses, his quiver, of course his bow, and his supporting soldiers, the enemy soldiers. He has to be conscious of them moving around him. So he has to be conscious of so many things. He has to be conscious of the ground in front of him. That's more for the charioteer, as he maneuvers throughout the battlefield. But when Krishna says, "Think of me," it's not "think of me as your charioteer." Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he says, "Think of me in the form of Krishna. Don't just think of me as a charioteer." And the whole point is to remember Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just two verses from here, Krishna will say, "Kaving puranam anushashitara manora niyangsa manusmaridyaha sarvasya dhatara machintya rupam aditya varnang tamasah parastat." One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. And Arjuna's got to remember all that and fight. Not a small order. But it is possible, this instruction to Arjuna, Srila Prabhupada writes, is very important for all men engaged in material activities. So most people in the world are not going to be able to come out of their activities and engage full-time in Krishna consciousness. Those who can, very good, very fortunate. For others who can't, well, they have to chant Hare Krishna and then go on with their worldly activities. But the whole aim is to think of Krishna. Because, and this is the central point of this chapter, the verse, next verse, after the one I just read, "Prayana kale manasachalena bhaktya yukto yogabalena chaiva bruvor madhye pranam avesha samyak satang param purusham upaiti divyam." One who at the time of death fixes his life air between the eyebrows and by the strength of yoga with an undeviating mind engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion, will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the point is to remember Krishna at the time of death. And Krishna is describing how, by a yogi, how he tries to do that. By remembering Krishna, by the strength of yoga, he fixes his mind. So Krishna is pointing out in this way that it's actually easier for Arjuna to remember Krishna in the middle of his fight than it would be if Arjuna was to leave the fight. You may think it's going to be easier for me to remember Krishna if I'm not fighting. If I'm fighting, my mind will be distracted in so many ways. But it's actually easier in that intense situation to remember Krishna. And particularly because Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight for Krishna's pleasure. So what you're fighting for, how are you going to get motivated to fight? Because I'm doing this for Krishna. So it's actually easier to remember Krishna. And of course, in the battle, death can come at any moment. Someone's fighting. They may have just killed 10 men in a row and then someone kills them. You don't know. It's just death is imminent. Can happen any time. Of course, there was no question of Arjuna being defeated because Krishna was with him, but that's not how he experienced. Not at any... If Duryodhana and company had had the good intelligence to think that, well, Krishna's on their side, so what's the point of fighting them? Then they would have just withdrawn and they wouldn't have bothered fighting. But they're all durbuddhe, yudha chikirshava. They're all of bad intelligence and they're fond of fighting. They think that by fighting they can overcome Krishna himself. That's their foolishness. So the whole point is to think of Krishna at the time of death, and one has to practice for that. And Krishna is saying, you practice here on the battlefield. Do yoga. You want to do yoga? Do it right here on the battlefield. Now, I particularly took up this subject not so much to discuss about Kurukshetra, as to discuss about one jiva in Orlando, Florida. You may have heard of Orlando in Florida, thanks to Disneyland. And I think somewhere around there they have near there is Cape Kennedy, Cape Canaveral, which got renamed as Cape Kennedy when John F. Kennedy got shot dead. They renamed it where they shoot all the rockets up when they're going to the moon, right? Going to the moon or somewhere, and they shoot the rockets. It's something like that. It's a famous tourist place. There's so many flights from Europe to Orlando. People go to see Disneyland. So it's a famous place. I'm talking about one jiva there. He's a jiva who is now known by the initiated name of Nityagora Das. And why? What's his relationship with Arjuna and Bhagavad Gita? Well, he's got a big relationship because he's initiated into the sampradaya that promotes Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he's driving a taxi there. Nothing very special about driving a taxi, is there? We don't think, just like you ask the children, what do you want to be when I grow up? I want to be a tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor, spy. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a army general. I want to be an Air Force pilot. No one says, I want to be a taxi driver. Is it? I don't think so. He's a taxi driver. So we don't think of taxi drivers being something very special. But he is special because he's a devotee of Krishna. And actually in New Orleans, which is another city in the United States of America, there are many devotees who are taxi drivers. They're from Bengal. Somehow they got out there and they go to America as pujaris or whatever, and they get their green card. Many of them congregate in Atlanta and New Orleans and they drive taxis. They work very hard and gradually they save up money and they build a house for their family in Mayapur. And some people think that's wrong, but I'm not totally against it because anyway, they're trying to do something for their family. And they're devotees, and they're doing it. Anyway, that's another subject. But anyway, Nityagora is my disciple. And he recently wrote to me that he's driving a taxi. He has a very strong commitment to developing a Krishna-conscious rural community in America. But he's just, when I last saw him, just how long ago? Less than three months ago. He was, his wife was about to have their first baby, which she's just had. So he thought, well, I have to generate some funds. He's been living as a full-time devotee and for years, and then he's thinking, been working on developing farm project, and he's got some little land, purchased a little land in America for that purpose. So he's thinking how to earn money, and he didn't want to do a job because working in a job means shvavriti. You've seen that in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shva means a dog and vritti means the means of livelihood. So according to Srimad Bhagavatam, someone who takes a wage that is on the platform of a dog who has a master. The idea is that brahmanas, kshatriyas and vaishyas, they have a large measure of independence in as much as they don't work for someone else. That's shudra. So he didn't want to do that because he's initiated as a brahmana. So he's taken up this taxi driving, which isn't exactly the brahminical profession, but he keeps some independence. So he wrote to me that he's attending the full morning program in the temple every day. He's rented a trailer, whatever they call that, mobile home, parked in the right outside the temple. So he goes to the full morning program. Then he wrote that it's an Uber taxi. So he just works when he wants. He doesn't work at nights, even though you can get more money if you work at nights. And he drives dressed in his devotional clothing, and he has books to give others. So that's really good. He's earning some money, not huge amounts, no doubt. But he's going as a devotee. And he's not compromising in that. At a time when throughout the world, for some reason or other, the tendency seems to be to, in our movement, means to try to hide Krishna. Actually, the whole Hare Krishna movement is meant to promote Krishna, right? We're supposed to be telling people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And promoting Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada founded this as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And as he several times recounted, when he was advised, I think it was some young lawyer in New York City, advised Srila Prabhupada, you call it the International Society for God Consciousness, it'll be more inclusive. And Srila Prabhupada, he didn't want to be inclusive, he wanted to be exclusive. You say God, people bring so many different ideas. We want to establish God means Krishna. If we're actually going to talk about God, we have to understand that is Krishna. As I just quoted this verse, Kaving Puranam Anushashita Anoriniyangsam Anusmiradyaha Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam. What's the next line? Adityavarnam tamasah parastat. So this is how we should. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not some vague idea. Very specific understanding of Krishna, but for some reason or other, which I don't know, seems to be some very strange ideas that to hide Krishna, and. Well, that's what Mayavadis do, isn't it? They take Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada complained about that. That you have Bhagavad Gita in which Krishna is saying, remember me, and they They talk all kinds of spiritual philosophy, but they never talk anything about remembering Krishna. And when Krishna says directly, Manmana, think of me, the Mayavadi commentator, namely Dr. Radhakrishnan, says it's not to Krishna. He contradicts Krishna. No, it's not Krishna you have to think of, but the unborn within Krishna, as if Krishna couldn't express himself clearly and he has to come 5,000 years later and just and give the proper understanding. So the Mayavadis, because they're envious of Krishna, they're always trying to hide Krishna and put Krishna in the background at most. They may pay some lip service to Krishna. Oh, yeah, yeah, Krishna. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Great figure, no doubt. Great figure, yeah. They pat him on the head like their pet dog. Give him a compliment. So this hiding Krishna, then who's ever going to find Krishna? Because anyway, the whole world is running away from Krishna. Krishna bahimukhoya bhogavanchakari nikartasta mayatari japatiya dori. We're tied up by maya in this material world because we've become inimical to Krishna and we desire to enjoy this material world. So really, we need a lot of propaganda. Tell everyone, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaurachanda Bole, Koto Nidra, Jao Maya Pishachirika. You have to tell everyone, wake up, sleeping soul. How long will we sleep on the lap of the witch called Maya? So anyway, Nityagora, he's not doing that. He's not pretending that he's just some ordinary Joe. He's very definitely a devotee of Krishna, represents himself like that. So congratulations to him like that for that. And I was saying he's just one jiva, and out of the innumerable jivas in Orlando, what to speak of the whole planet, what to speak of the whole universe, he's just one member of the Krishna consciousness movement which is spread all over the world. But many devotees, they can take inspiration from that. That they can be more open, at least, in their Krishna consciousness. And it's not that he's a kind of brash, forceful personality. Rather, the opposite. He's quite gentle and reserved. So another point that comes up is that actually such persons should be supported by the broader society. They shouldn't have to do this kind of thing. Now, we find in our worldwide Krishna conscious movement that donations that devotees give, a lot of donations are given to sannyasis. And when I travel around, people tend to give me some monetary contribution. All right, the idea is that, well, if you give it to me, I'll spend it in the service of Krishna. And I will. Sannyasis, they're addressed not here in South India, in North India, they're addressed as Maharaj, but the sannyasi shouldn't think now I've become a king. I have to live like a king. He's supposed to be Goswami, in control of the senses, not living luxuriously. So the idea, people have the faith that if I give it to a sannyasi of ISKCON, then they'll use all this money in Krishna's service. So my life, my earnings will be purified. But householder, brahmanas, those who want to act in the service of Krishna, they should also be supported. At a minimal level, that's the original culture. Most brahmanas will be married, they'll have children. Nityagora just had his first child, and congratulations, have more. Why not? If you're going to have children, then have have them, raise them in Krishna consciousness. But they should also be supported. We don't have that culture within our movement at the present time. It's one way we're talking about reviving Vedic culture. That's part of it. That charity should be given to brahmanas, those who are actually living as a brahmana, shamo dama tapasho chang shanti rajam evacha gyanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam, those who are actually cultivating the qualities of peacefulness, self-control, austerity, cleanliness, shamo dama tapasho chang kshanti, tolerance, straightforwardness, knowledge, realization. Such persons should be supported. So, anyway, like I say, he's one devotee, and really this movement is going on not so much by big meetings and big plans and big strategies, but by Lord Chaitanya's plan, which is Nato Gao Bhakta Sange Koro Sankirtan Nama Upadeshi Tara Sarvajan. Krishna Nama Upadeshi Tara Sarvajan. To sing and dance and chant. The devotees at the grassroots level, we can say, who are distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, performing Harinam Sankirtan, festivals, they are pushing on the Krishna conscious movement. And of course, there are many services to do also. We have so many temples, they require to be maintained and managed. But the real life of in the Krishna conscious movement, prana che ja she hetu prachar, those who got real life, they like to preach Krishna consciousness. So we shouldn't overlook or underestimate the contributions of the great unknown transcendental soldiers who are out there working hard day after day, dedicated, giving their lifeblood for spreading the holy names, chanting, distributing the books. This is the real life of the Krishna conscious movement. So those who are engaged in that, just go on. Everyone should engage in this as much as possible. This is the real central activity of the Krishna conscious movement, is preaching Krishna consciousness, performing Harinam Sankirtan, festivals, book distribution. Of course, Harinam Sankirtan in itself is a festival. In New York City, they have daily, 6 hours a day, out in the public place, thousands of people from all over the world see every day. Great. Well, not everywhere is New York City. It should be done in every town and village. Just like here, I think in this Manangadi? Is this Minangadi? I'm getting always mixed up with that place way over in the eastern side, in Tamil Nadu. That place of Santana Krishna. No, it's next to Santana Krishna. So I think our Hare Krishna movement is not very much well known here, is it? What do you think? Not much known. Devotees must have come time to time. Not much now, not much activities. It should. No activities whatsoever. The only activity is devotees come here for treatment in the Purnayu Arogya Niketanam. But then they don't do much preaching or anything when they come. Yeah, and I'd never heard of Wayanad. So we need every town and village. Every town and village, at least in India, it should be spread very well. Actually, all over the world. But then if we think of some places like Saudi Arabia, well, that's a special place because it's a very restricted place. But then most people won't have heard. They'll have no idea. Well, then some have idea. Some they study in the Western countries. They'll have seen our devotees. But we have to be out in the streets of the Western countries. Otherwise, how will people from Saudi Arabia ever know? We have books in Arabic. And Arabic people, they like to take our books. When they're in the West, they get the opportunity. Anyway, a lot of work to do, no doubt. As Srila Prabhupada, he quoted a Bengali saying that for the weak man, there is gum. And Durbala jano gum ebong balabane jano gham. Gum means sleep for the weak. Durbal, for the weak man, there is sleep. Just like me, I'm sleeping so much now after this treatment. I left my life where? Where? What happened to it? And for the strong man, there is gum, which means sweat, perspiration. As Srila Prabhupada said about himself, that one thing I can say about myself, I was never lazy. So Krishna's telling Arjuna, don't be lazy. Work, don't run away. Fight for Krishna and think of Krishna. So that's one way to preach. If you ever end up as a taxi driver in Orlando, not recommended in general, but somehow or other, if you end up, you can take Prabhupada's books and preach also. Hare Krishna.